This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I have nothing to complain about with the Cavs. There's nothing to complain about. Guys, we're out of things to pick apart. There's no ugliness that's reared its head. I got one thing I want to bring up later on. That our boss kind of got a little bit upset with. And I go, well, are we underthinking it or overthinking it with the Celtics coming up next week? It's one little thing that I want to bring up maybe in the 8 o'clock hour here. Let me bring this up to you right now there, Tone, is that things are great right now at 13-0. There is something that I've done in the past that I want to rectify right now. The Cavs are 13-0. It's great. It's grand. It's wonderful. This is a lot of fun. Totally a lot of fun. Let's stop the LeBron comparisons already. We don't need to make the comparison of the 4 years LeBron was back or the 11 years that LeBron was here total. I say it right now as a person who's done it. I say it right now as a person who's made the mistake of saying, well, you know, wait till this year, it's going to be more special than what LeBron. You know, that is a conversation we could have if they get to the finals. If you want to talk about that when they get to the finals, we can talk about that when they get to the finals. Or if they were to win the finals, we can have that conversation. Because we might be basking in the Everglow, and maybe it will be. I'm not sure. But, man, there is a spectacle to some of us. And I don't know if it's just because he has come and go as he's pleased for 21 years or 22 years. I forget how long LeBron's been in the league. He's come and gone as he pleased. He was, for 20 years, the only reason the Cavs were a decent franchise. Before he was here, the 4 years he was gone, they were an absolute moribund mess right after he left. Now, he left it in a bad spot. It was an absolute mess. But, guys, they're not that way anymore. They're not that way anymore. They're a good team. Donovan Mitchell is a good leader. It's a good basketball team. They're at the top of the Eastern Conference. We don't have to deal with the whole, well, if it ain't for LeBron, we'd be sucking up the room and nobody would want to play here. It's not that way anymore. I don't need to make that comparison anymore, because I woke up this morning, hey, you know, would this be better than LeBron? Would this be better? Is this more impressive because it's not with LeBron? I know that he will cast a shadow in some light, in some way, for the rest of my career and basically for the rest of my life, because I plan on dying on the air. So if he does that, that's great. But I can respect the past and also move into the future and go, man, it's great right now. Do I need to make this comparison
right now?
Where
do you think that rush to try to compare is coming from?
Yeah, I think it's little man syndrome. I think it's a fan's... I wish I had a better term for it, something a little bit more scientific. I think it's... Guys, I've been guilty of it myself. I throw myself right there in the fire, but I want to learn from my mistakes. What they're doing right now is special. It's great. It's with great players. And Tristan Thompson's on the team. That's the only connection that we have. That's the only connection.
Do you think
it's gone. It's done. It's in the past.
I've noticed.
I revere it. I respect it. But we're done.
I notice it comes up anytime, any team, including the Cavs. But, you know, the Browns in 2020, when they were on their run, this is better than LeBron, right? Baseball, any of the baseball postseason runs, this is better. This, nothing's like this.
Oh, so you think...
I think there is a yearning to, not just to put down LeBron and the Cavs. I get it. That basketball, for some people, is third. Right? I do think it's changed in this town because basketball has been good for so long.
It's weird.
But it just depends on who you talk to.
I know I have a good friend in his late 50s. He goes, Kenny, anytime you guys talk basketball, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm like, buddy, they're 7-0. Doesn't right. matter. Like, right. they were a playoff team. Doesn't matter. I'm like, all right. Well, I'm not going to center it all for you.
And then you add to it the fact that LeBron has somehow become like a controversial figure over time because of politics. and the fact that he's left twice. For me, he's not controversial at all. He's like the easiest, unbelievable, you know, Northeast Ohio story you could ever dream up in a book, like a guy that could become a billionaire, you know, a self-made billionaire, and do it all on the backs of his talent. And eventually, it's not just his talent, like he became a very savvy businessman, investor. Like he's done all that. He is the American dream personified and come to life. So you'll never hear me, you know, other than busting his chops about, you know, him, you know, reading books. Is he really reading the books, or
he's
is he just
on, like,
reading
the third page?
Right. Like that's just kind of fun stuff to do anyway. But
can't just read the foreword.
Just
it
him
count.
Overall. I don't think there's anything you could do to marginalize, you know, his story and how, you know, forever linked it is with the Cavs. But I also think fans want to have a reason to believe and buy into what they're watching at the moment. They want to have an investment, and they want to have a payoff.
They're 13-0. That's what the investment is.
Right, but we can't...
That's in the moment.
We can't win the title today, so what do? We concoct a reason why this is the coolest thing we've ever seen.
Yeah, but I've done that before, and then they've lost to the New York Knicks in the first round.
Right, right. Yeah, we had a lot of fun with that team.
It's... This is going to be a weird comparison. How do I do this? There are a lot of guys out there that their wives are the best partner they've ever had. But in the back of their mind, there is somebody else that was really the best partner they've ever had. They might not enjoy the company as much, but there was somebody else in the past, back in their heyday, when they were a younger man, or when you were a younger woman. Same thing with your husbands, where... You know, Gary's great, but sometimes I think of Dan. Dan really did a great job. Dan really spoke to the needs. He was a bad guy and a terrible, terrible... I had to bail him out of jail. I had to pay his phone bill all the time, but Dan knew what to do. But Gary's a better man.
It was a utility to Dan.
Guys, that's in the past. That's in the past. And LeBron was great. And I have fond memories of LeBron. Now, I don't think that any... wife is building a statue to Dan in the backyard while they have Gary. I don't think that's going to happen. We will build a statue to LeBron. But somebody brought up, does Donovan get a statue? Yes, if they win a championship, Donovan Mitchell gets a statue. They all get statues
yeah,
if they win championships. If you win a championship in Cleveland, since it doesn't happen very often, you get a statue. So yes, they would put LeBron in one corner of the building right as you walk in. They'll put Donovan in another corner of the building as soon as you walk in. These things can be equal. We don't need to make every comparison to LeBron to try to completely justify any whatever feeling we have against LeBron for the past.
Kenny, I do think I think it's a great point that you make. I think there is...
It was a hard point to make.
It's not...
Be careful.
I was along for the ride. I had visuals and everything. I was like, Dan, what does Dan do that's so great? What am I not doing that Dan is doing? Anyway, so I think about it this way.
I think we all know what Dan was doing that Gary wasn't willing to do.
Well, maybe I wasn't willing to go there. Maybe I should be.
Well, let me tell you this. I was willing to go to places
that Dan was willing to go.
Dan wasn't willing.
I think this transcends sports in this case. But if you think about why people are posting to Instagram all their trips, all their fine dining, all their clothing, all their whatever. They're doing it because, like, we talk about be in the moment, whatever. But the goal is that this is the best thing that's ever happened right now. It's what we do with everything. And we're doing it with sports. We did this. The Guardians got off to that great start. And I remember people were like, this is already the best thing ever. We're just doing it. I think there is this thing that we're doing in society all the time. We're doing it with politics too.
Yes.
Like all the time. This is either the worst thing that's ever happened or this is the all-time best thing, depending on how you feel.
Well,
and we're going to do it again in 4 years. We're going to do it again in 2 years.
We're all on social media, and I think we're all in a race to be declarative, because we want to be the one that said that we told you on whatever reason that it is, even though it's a giant game of football. But
and
that's
beside
the point.
Can you bottle up that moment when we won the championship? We all say we remember it. We'll remember it forever. Mm-hmm. But last night, we are high-fiving, and we're on Twitter, and we're trash-talking Boston fans, and, oh, Philly was supposed to be good this year. How's that looking right now? What are they, 2-9? Like, right now, living in the moment should feel spectacular.
The league has changed. When they won with LeBron, I made a concerted effort to try to remember everything I could, and I remember a lot, and it's only been 8 years. But to enjoy it as best I could, I mean, I remember when people wanted to get that next season started. I did not. I wanted that offseason to last as long as possible because I did not think we'd have a chance without LeBron to ever win it again. The league was different 8 years ago. We thought differently of players. Now, you know, with the changes they've made, I mean, guys, this is a team that has a look at it. The 13-0, they haven't shown any warts yet, and their schedule hasn't been great. Well, they can only beat the teams that you put in front of them, guys.
Yeah, what's the Cavs' weakness right now?
But this is a team that I'm telling you right now, I think could have a look at it. And if they were to do it, I think it would be incredible. And you know what? We can put a statue of Donovan Mitchell on the other side of the building from LeBron James. You can do both. We can enjoy both. But not everything needs to be a comparison between LeBron and Donovan Mitchell, or with the LeBron years and these years with Donovan Mitchell, or this current iteration of the Cavs. I can't say it will never be that way. I'm not going to never have that conversation. If the Cavs win the championship, at some point in the near future, we would have that conversation, certainly. But it doesn't have to be, hey, we're 13-0. This is already better than it was with LeBron, right? But because he's not LeBron. It's already... No. It was a force with LeBron. It was a fun time. At times it was Camelot. At times it was very dramatic and stupid and looking at Instagram and talking about Kevin Love and meeting near pools at cabanas. Some of that stuff was as dumb
soap opera every day
as possible and was draining emotionally. This is much less draining and at times, yes, even more fun. But as of right now, it's not what it was then. That's fine because it's only been 13 games and they're 13-0 and it's November 14th. It doesn't need to be a comparison. The past was great. Those are fond memories. But I don't need to dredge them up every time the Cavs win a basketball game. Do Cavs fans, or do fans in general, do our listeners in general, do we? Because I tell you, I've made this mistake before. Do we need to let go of LeBron? Do we need to stop comparing this Cavs team to LeBron? Like, I'm getting a little bit of pushback about the LeBron things. I'm not trying to forget about LeBron, but they're 13-0. Not everything needs to be a comparison to the LeBron years. They're a tremendous basketball team. I don't need to watch Donovan and make that comparison all the time. I don't need to do it. Like Eddie says, if you want people to stop comparing the Cavs now and then, Donovan, LeBron, then you need to stop doing it first. Yeah, I stopped doing it. I stopped doing it a couple years ago when I showed my ass and I said, oh, this is better than what they did with LeBron. They lost in the first round of the Knicks. It's not a point. It's not a point to get into. I mean, it is.
The time to get into it is when the Cavs win the championship. I don't understand how we're comparing win streaks in November to championship LeBron and what that felt like, and him just returning home. My God, they didn't win anything when he returned home. But this whole town acted like we had won our fourth straight title.
Yeah.
So does it feel like that? No. It feels awesome. Winning these games in the moment feels awesome.
Yeah.
It's distracted us from the Browns mess. It's distracted us from the way that the Guardians unfortunately bowed out after their great season. So I think you take it for what it is.
It's a
great day in and day out feeling during a time when otherwise we'd feel really crappy about things.
Yeah, if the Cavs were bad right now, like if it was the old Cavs and the Browns were still 2-7, I don't know what we'd be doing. I mean, there'd be plenty of things to complain about. But there's nothing really to get into because it's like, well, you just wait until next year. With the Browns, there's plenty to get into that's complainable that we can address this year. But with the Cavs, it was like, well, we got to get a draft. I don't know what to do with the general manager. I don't need to do any of that stuff. They're 13-0. I mean, I opened up the show. It's like, well, they got to lose. It was a joke, but I'm going, they got to lose at some point because I got nothing to bitch about. Everything's great. Everything's fantastic. Donovan Mitchell's apologizing for trying to go for a triple-double in the post game with Serena Winters on FanDuel TV. So I don't got to worry about that. Jared Allen is still consistent. Evan Mobley is growing and playing well. You saw the stats on him, the advanced metrics on Evan Mobley. He's doing a wonderful job. I mean, the platitudes go on and on and on because of how good they've been. I got nothing to rip Kenny Atkinson for. When have I ever been 13 games into a season I've had nothing to rip a professional NBA coach on? We are in uncharted waters, but it doesn't need to be a comparison immediately to the former player who's, going to get a statue here. And if Donovan Mitchell and the Cleveland Cavaliers win a championship, Donovan's going to get a statue here too, no matter what happens in the future with him. Let me get to Colton in Cuyahoga Falls. You're next up on The Fan. Hello.
Hello, guys. How you doing?
We're doing wonderful. Go ahead.
I completely agree with you. We need to stop comparing Donovan with LeBron. They're both great in their own right. We had our fun with LeBron in the past years, but right now the corner piece of this franchise is arguably Donovan Mitchell, and we should ride with him as long as we can. They play in different ways, and there's really no comparing them until we win a title. Also, my other piece I had, I noticed the past couple games, like Monday's and Saturday's game, it seemed like we were getting to early foul trouble, and it kind of came around to like bite us a little bit. Even though we got the wins out, it seems like we were getting into the bonus fairly early into the late halves. I just wanted to hear your guys' piece on that. And well, also, my last thing, I just ate the Pilgrim the other day. It was a great sandwich. Thanks for your time, guys.
Boom.
Yes. And have a great day.
Yes! I want to dedicate your Pilgrim, Colton. Thank you very much for the call. To my late, great, great, many times over, Grandfather Joseph. Fought in the 8th Virginia for the Continental Army. Now, he was murdered in 1787. I'm not going to tell you how he was murdered. That might save for the podcast. Yeah, Grandpa Joe got murdered. And apparently, according to the historians, it was pretty grisly.
Oh, no. Not Grandpa Joe.
But it makes me so hungry, I could murder a Pilgrim sub from get-go. And I think Grandpa Joe would enjoy me turning his grisly death into a talk about a sandwich.
He didn't sleep in any beds, toes to toes with other relatives, did he?
Oddly enough, I told that story yesterday, and that's the exact comparison that they made. I would have given Grandpa Joe the golden ticket to get out of the place that he got murdered at. Anywho, I think that the foul trouble thing, Colton, I think that maybe rears its head maybe against Boston. That's the test. I think Boston's going to use us as a test.
Boston,
I think
Boston, we're definitely using so them as a test. So many damn threes. Last night, again, the Celtics were 22 of 46 from three. So as good as we were last night, 40%, they were 47.8% from three.
Here is a comparison I will make between Donovan and LeBron. You remember Terry Pluta was on with us yesterday, and you can go back and listen to that interview, 92.3thefan.com. Terry was on with us yesterday, and he brought up like the pressure that was on this team last year might have got to them because no one truly knew. I mean, Donovan can say all he wants to his teammates and to his friends that he was going to stay in Cleveland, even though he didn't, because you probably would have heard more stuff that was coming out. Like, he let the national media kind of wonder. And I don't blame him. You have to hold the franchise's feet to the fire because this is the only power you really have as a player. I can understand that. But if they don't necessarily know what he's going to do, then I think there's more pressure. Is he going to want me here? Is the franchise going to want me here? Is he going to be here? If I stay, will he stay? Like, those are questions that they have to answer. They couldn't answer those last season. And it goes the same way with the final years of LeBron in Cleveland the first time.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
When he came back, it's like, hey, he came back. He brought this team together. He's comfortable. We're comfortable. Let's go give him hell. This year, they're 13-0. Donovan's comfortable. Jarrett's comfortable. We thought Jarrett was going to be the outside looking in after the whole shot fiasco that happened at the end of the season last year. Jarrett's comfortable. He's the most consistent Cavalier. Evan Mobley's growing. He's comfortable. Darius Garland is sure as hell comfortable here. Like, that's the comparison that I think I can make. You have your alpha on each one of those basketball teams that lead the way, that stir the drink, and if they know that they're going to be there for any given period of time, then yeah, you can truly sell out and play team basketball with each other. 216-474-0092. Marty in Cleveland Heights, you're next up on The Fan. Marty. Marty. All right, that's it, Marty. Do you have anything to say before I finish that up?
No, I just think this, the way that they are playing right now, you know, it doesn't seem to matter who's on the floor. It doesn't seem to matter what rotations Kenny is dealing with. Like, this team, they know, like last night, again, they didn't play their hardest. They did not try to do everything they could to win that game. They knew they were the better team, and they knew eventually they were going to win. Now, eventually, you're going to lose a game like that just because. But even a game like that where you don't take that seriously, the opponent, you see you're playing against their JV team. When they really needed to, they did what they need to do. They have a superstar who went out and made those threes, those back-breaking threes, and they got the big defensive stop, so it was awesome to see.
Dolphins, Jets, Patriots, Bengals, Browns, Colts, Titans, Jags, Broncos, Raiders. In the AFC, how many teams is that under 500 right now? Oh, or Broncos are 5-5, so take the Broncos out, put Raiders. Cowboys, Giants, Bears, Saints, Panthers, Buccaneers at 4-6, 4-5, 4-5, Rams, Seahawks. Is the league a good product right now?
Yeah, so what, half the teams there? You basically mentioned half the teams. I think it's probably not all that different record-wise than what it is most years. It does feel like this is a really overall, and I'm starting to see more and more people talk about this, just kind of a down year for the NFL. You know, it's always going to be a league you watch and see great last-second finishes and watch like you were able to watch over the weekend. Red zone, and you see the witching hour, and there are always going to be some fun elements of these games just because they're all going to be one-score games.
I didn't know about the witching hour till Sunday. I was like, what is this? Oh, okay, this is good branding.
Yeah, because you don't normally watch.
I don't normally watch.
So overall, I just kind of feel like it's a down year for the league, and maybe it's just because the Browns are bad. And so I'm watching the league differently. I'm not as dialed into all the other teams in the AFC to see jockeying for position with wins and losses and possible wildcard berths. But I'm just not having as much fun this year in the NFL. Is it just because of the Browns, or is it because a lot of the jettison quarterbacks are actually playing decently? You're not seeing a lot of elite quarterback play outside of the usual suspects with Lamar and Josh Allen. Even, I mean, Owen, what kind of a year is Patrick Mahomes having? Is this the worst year he's had in the NFL?
I feel like it's the third year in a row that he's had this type of year.
Yeah.
And I'm not worried about it. I don't really need to watch it right now because I know what he's going to do in January.
I think the teams that are winning are playing complimentary football, and I think that that's very boring for a lot of people. I mean, Patrick Mahomes has 12 touchdowns and 9 interceptions.
Yeah, but their defense is like crazy now, and that's not what the product has been for
bingo.
The last decade.
So for a football guy, when you say that it's not a good product, I scoff. I think for the general public, 12 touchdowns and 9 picks by Patrick Mahomes, even though that he's had seasons where he's thrown some picks earlier in the season, we're a little bit late for that. I think that that stands to reason with some people. Josh Allen, we assume Patrick Mahomes, we assume Aaron Rodgers, who has not been good this year, and we want to have a conversation, I think, about is it over, really, for Aaron Rodgers as an elite quarterback to carry a football team? I don't know. They're 3-7 and look listless in a lot of ways. The quarterback play has not been great this year. And I think the part you can't just sit there and blame it all on too high safety, for crying out loud, to the point where Mel Kiper wanted to get rid of it. They're going to have to get better in that case. It's been better for the running game, but I do think it's kind of bored some people. At first I want to get mad at you and say, well, it's 2-7. The Browns are bad. You thought the Browns would be better than what they are right now. I think it's hurt your opinion of the entire league, but you know, Houston is a kind of middling team right now. They let one slip through their hands. And they've had to grind it out all year. I think people thought Houston was going to be a juggernaut going into this year. They've shown their age a little bit.
Who are the most entertaining must-watch teams to you right now?
Still a 4-6 football team, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And yes, part of that is because of the Cleveland Browns history with Baker Mayfield.
You want to see Baker.
Yeah. I saw him pull off one of the most amazing plays I've ever seen in a loss on Sunday against San Francisco.
It's
that was one of the most amazing plays I've ever seen.
It was a great play, and he has been fun to watch. The problem for him is he lost his really good receivers, and you can see they have gone in the opposite direction. What, they lost 5 of 6 now?
Yes, they have.
So they're not making the playoffs. So that's kind of a bummer if you were kind of into that storyline. Obviously, Detroit is must-watch. I thought Houston would be must-watch. It's kind of tough to get through some of these games.
Yeah.
The Eagles?
So the Eagles are interesting because they're getting healthy, and now they're putting their stamp on things again. When I saw the Browns play them, I was like, this team's going to fire their coach. And there are a lot of bad vibes. Remember, Sirianni was getting into it
with
fans.
They didn't have their receivers. Well, their receivers
had just gotten back. So maybe it was just them needing to play together. Because, like, I think today if we play Philly, they probably take care of us pretty easily compared to the team that we saw.
Yes, but I also think that you mentioned the Lions. I think they may be the only must-watch team in the NFL right now.
What about Washington?
Jaden
Daniels. Just because it's a rookie.
Maybe a little bit, but I think the truly only must-watch team right now is the Lions, considering their history, and it's in a year where I could put Washington in there if I really want to.
Can I throw a team you don't want to hear?
The Steelers?
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
No.
They seem to have opened up their offense. They seem to kind of...
What did I tell you about Arthur Smith?
Russ is not playing as well as Hall of Fame Big Ben.
What did I tell you?
But he's throwing these jump balls up, and Pickens has gone from the guy all our Pittsburgh brethren wanted to get rid of and talk about how lazy he is and not finishing plays. And now all of a sudden, he's one of the dynamic playmakers in the league.
But it's not what I like, because he throws up jump balls. They run on teams. They grind out teams because they win in their classic way. And I also don't like it because I was right. I told you about Arthur Smith. People were laughing at Arthur Smith when they brought him in. I go, don't laugh at him. He knows how to conduct an offense. He might not have done a great job as a head coach. But remember, they had Dick LeBeau, who sucked out loud as a head coach, who was one of the greatest defensive coordinators of all time. And now on offense, they have Arthur Smith. Now, I don't know if he's the greatest of all time, but I know if you give him running backs, which they have two of, he can call a hell of an offense. And they've been able to call an offense, and they've got out to 7-2 and been able to make teams make mistakes against them. I don't know if they're going to get guys to jump on 4th-and-1 all the time, but made teams make mistakes against them. I hate watching the Steelers because they are fundamentally sound, and I know they're going to win a lot of these games, and it bothers me because we're at the bottom of it. They're not must-watch to me. They are a Clockwork Orange must-watch to me, where because they're in my division and because I hate them, I have to watch them. And I watch them before it was Ben Roethlisberger throwing for 400 yards and 5 touchdowns against all these teams, and you couldn't bring him down because he was such a monster. This is, I'm going, man, you need to be able to bring this guy to justice. You got to be able to do it. And they just played technically sound, complimentary football, but that doesn't bring in a lot of eyeballs. Like, even when I watched the Chiefs game against the Broncos, these are two well-coached teams. I'll give Sean Payton his credit. He's done pretty well with Bo Nix, considering. I think a lot of guys could have done far worse. These are two fundamentally sound, well-coached football teams. It's 16-14. And I was a little bit down about it. I go, this is a tough football game between these two teams trying to make each other make mistakes. I go, you know what? I'd really like to let my hair down one time and have it be 45-42 with a last-second field goal. I wish just once I could get that. The offenses aren't that great this year. Defenses have been able to find a way out. And so at least in the NFL, whether the Browns are 2-7, at least the rest of the league ain't that watchable this year, with the exception of the Detroit Lions. They're a blast. But other than that, I'm not getting a lot of enjoyment out of it. Coming up at 8:20, Mary Kay Cabot. Not getting a lot of enjoyment out of the Browns right now. Is Kevin Stefanski actually on the hot seat with the Cleveland Browns? And does that start this Sunday against the New Orleans Saints?
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML,
fix my life.
Kenny, what do we do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
All right, so Kenny, I have very few traditions that we, the Limas, have established over the last few years. Since I met my wife, we had two kids, we bought a house, we rarely get in fights, which is just extraordinary.
Moving on.
Anyway, so we have these traditions. One of them is we go to this neighborhood in Fairview Park, and it is incredible. It really is like the Griswold house, and all of the houses are the same. They're very close to each other, so the street is lit up like you could see it from the skies. It is amazing, but maybe not for long. Here is audio from WKYC.
Every holiday season, Rick DeChant and his festive neighbors on Seabury Avenue in Fairview Park find great joy in the thousands of people who come and see their famous holiday lights. But changes are coming, with Fairview Park Mayor Bill Schneider and Police Chief Paul Shepard saying crowd control has become a problem, with complaints about traffic, parking, noise, trespassing, theft, vandalism, drunkenness, and even someone urinating in a yard.
And there was a time last year that there was 1,000 people within a half mile driving down your street.
They've announced they'll be enforcing a ban on any personal property in the street's right-of-way, which includes lights, electrical cords, and signs, meaning no lighted arches over the sidewalks or holiday lights on the tree lawn, so first responders have a clear path in emergencies. Also, no more buses or limos allowed on the street. The city is encouraging holiday lights as long as the rules are followed.
Do I want to be the Grinch? No, but unfortunately I took an oath of office and I can't turn a blind eye to a violation that we absolutely know is going on.
The city says failure to comply with the lighting rules is a fourth degree misdemeanor.
Boo!
Audio courtesy of WKYC.
All right, Kenny, the arches are the
urinating.
Best part. The
drunkenness.
Arches, well, that's the first thing you do. You urinate when you get there because you've held it in.
You won't let me use
the
bathroom.
That's my family's Christmas tradition.
Put some porta potties out there, and then it rectifies everything. Or how about you let me in your home? Just let me in your home and let me dispose of whatever I need to.
Kyle and Sarah let me do it back in Halloween.
Yeah, exactly.
Went to the bathroom.
Come
on. It was nice. Nice neighbors.
This stinks because obviously almost everybody participates in this. There's always going to be a few holdouts, as you know. Same thing, Halloween. We have a Halloween street that is one block over from us in Bay Village. And almost everybody contributes. There are a few that don't, and you move on. It's not the end of the world that they don't. So, yeah, it probably sucks to be on that street if you're not one of them. But I think it's just something that you got to put up with.
Seabury Street is what this is called? Oh, I got to take a drive down here.
See, this is just adding to it.
Apparently, it's Caligula.
It is awesome because they do. They do the arches. They really light them up. As far as like exposed cords and whatever, yeah, I mean, how else are you supposed to really do this?
Well, no, you can get cord covers.
Yeah.
Or you just do what I do and knot them up and then.
Okay, so can't they just say that? Like, just do that and then come by.
But I think the issue is the public drunkenness and the. So somebody was lushed
up. Laundry list.
Traffic, parking, noise, trespassing, theft, vandalism, drunkenness, and even someone urinating in a yard.
That's eight. That's what I heard eight
traffic,
right there. That's too many.
Traffic, like, yeah, there are going to be times, there are going to be this window. And I think everybody knows when it's going to be up and the hours that it's going to be. Would it be annoying if you work second shift or third shift and have to deal with that? It is not easy to get in and get out of.
Is it a main thoroughfare?
No. I mean, it's a neighborhood. It's a neighborhood that is probably very quiet and calm. Except for the 2 weeks where this is awesome. And it is. It is totally awesome. If you go back there, you'll understand. And you have pockets of this in every community. When I was young, Menor, there was this incredible neighborhood, huge houses, and they went all out. And so, yes, everybody came out from all over the place. And I'm sure it was annoying for the people that lived there that weren't into this. But I just think is this against the law? Is it against the law to put up
misdemeanor? Yeah,
Someone urinating in a yard.
Okay, so arrest the people that are urinating. Have police if you think it's that big of a deal.
Well, I don't think the police...
But it's not up to the homeowners to curtail urination
Wait a minute. As a taxpayer,
I can go down anybody's street right now and urinate. Is it the house's fault?
No, wait.
People living on the street?
Hold on just a second.
You're defending this?
Yes, I am to some degree.
Oh, my God.
To some degree.
Didn't you say you have a house next to you that you can actually go in and participate in Halloween?
No, you can go up to it and participate in Halloween.
Should
they'll
they
just
put
let
an
you
end
walk
to that?
In the house.
I'm sure there's some violations.
But we're not.
Kenny wants to put an end to fun
silly.
As we know it.
But do you have? But the whole thing is, you just said
Kenny sucks.
You just said to post a cop up there and to have him stand. I'm supposed. Don't do that. This ain't the afternoon show. Don't you do that. And second of all, you don't just have to.
You're a mean one. Mr. Carmen,
you don't just post a cop up there for an
interminable
amount
of
time.
If you think it's that big of a deal, if you think this
you wanna
the end of the world in Fairview Park.
In this case, you want to literally urinate away taxpayer money by having a cop have to sit out there and make sure no one goes number one and shows up drunk to go watch the lights.
Here's what happened.
You guys had
somebody
your chance,
didn't participate, and somebody saw one person urinating, and they called the police.
One is too many.
They called the police. Like it was the end of the world. Like their dogs don't crap all over the neighbor's yards.
One is too many.
I mean, come on. It's good for the grass anyway.
No,
watch it in the spring.
It's not
It'll be
good
amazing.
For the grass. Dog poop is not
It'll
good for the grass.
It'll be amazing.
It's terrible for the grass. It's poison for the grass.
Well, what are you feeding your dogs? Come on.
I fed him kibble for 12 years. He was a good dog, and now he's dead.
And you have no grass.
And he killed the grass.
Nitrate rich.
yeah,
food.
Yeah.
And then we'll
that.
I can't believe you're taking up for this.
Because
this is Americana.
Because I have a responsibility to my neighbors, do I not? I mean, I could have a triumphant display, but I have to be responsible to the neighbors.
So put up a nice display, but make it forbidden for anybody to come down your street?
Guys, I am the king of don't tread on me. I wouldn't move to a place that had an HOA. We've talked about this a million times. Yeah. But I do have a responsibility as a good citizen of a good town to not create a disturbance. And if it creates a disturbance, maybe it's up to me to hire private security. I'm not going to put taxpayer money out there and make them pay for a cop to have to sit at the end of the street.
What I want to know is,
solution.
What is the parking problem? Yes, people park all over the streets. Then they go back to their
parking
car and they
leave. A little much.
Come on.
Parking problem's a little much. I'm not going to. I didn't defend the parking problem.
Post a picture of Calvin peeing on a picture of Calvin peeing on someone's yard. And then you're fine.
Bob in Twinsburg. Ken's war on Christmas has started. Very sad.
Yeah,
Bill O'Reilly. Bill O'Reilly warned me about this, that people like you would be coming for Christmas. And here, 2024, it has.
If you guys could just say happy holidays around me, it'd be much better.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.